The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on the show, Jules and Ali will be here to reflect on Ukraine's 1-0 victory over Spain, plus all the latest on Cristiano Ronaldo testing positive for the coronavirus. We start, though, in the Nations League with Germany's 3-3 draw. And what a game it was. Here to reflect on it, Stevie Nicol, Shaka Hislop, and the Hamburglar himself, Archie Rintutt. Stevie, this had goals. You haven't seen goals for a while, Stevie. how would you react overall to the match?
Well, listen, if you're playing at home, you're playing with a front three, you score three goals at home, all your front three players score. I mean, this is three players in Gnabry, Havertz and Werner that could be your front line for the next 7 or 8 years. That's kind of what you would think you would be talking about. But unfortunately, when you can't defend to save your life, then that's what you're going to end up talking about. This absolutely was all about how horrible Germany are defensively. Listen, Germany had a huge possession of the ball, complete and utter counter-attacking football from the Swiss, and just the ineptitude of Germany's back line, whether it's the two centre-backs, the full-backs, or Neuer, who had a nightmare as well, then that's what you're going to talk about. 3-3, six goals, you should be great, but every time I think of that defence, I almost feel like having a heart attack.
Shaka, it was nuts. Every time Switzerland went forward, you thought they were going to score.
Yeah, and that's the ridiculous thing about this German side. They're just so many issues. And we are talking about a side that just scored three goals at home. But for me, up front, they play very narrow. They don't threaten you down the wide areas. So you can cope with them relatively easy. But then you're right. What Germany at the back are an absolute disaster. Three at the back against Ukraine, four at the back against Switzerland, and it didn't look any better. To try to counter that, what the Germans are doing is pressing very high up the pitch, pressing very hard. That's what brought the three goals for Germany. Two of those, Switzerland had a little bit of a part to play themselves. But once you play through that pressure, anything can happen. Mm. And that's what you're seeing. When that pressure tells, Germany can turn it around really quickly. But when you get through, just as worryingly, you can get at this German defence, regardless of who they employ or what formation they use.
Is Jogi Löw going to get sacked, Archie?
I don't think he will, but he needed this kind of entertaining display to really pep up his hopes, I would say, because TV numbers have been going down here in Germany, as has interest in the national team. And there was a lot of pressure on Jogi Löw to change his formation, particularly that back three had been coming under a lot of pressure. And there was a lot of relief, I think, when it looked like Germany would play a back four tonight. And they certainly were more dynamic going forward. But whether that's enough with Matthias Ginter and Antonio Rudiger as your two centre-backs, they're just not up to the same standard as Mats Hummels and Jerome Boateng, who, of course, Joachim Löw banished from the national team back in March 2019, it was. So he's been trying to rebuild since the World Cup 2018 disaster. He's used 51 different players since then, but I think it is time for him to try and find that right formula. The problem is, Germany does not have the depth that, say, France has at centre-back, where you'd fancy them to play about 12 of their players there, and I think Germany would be very happy to have just two of those options.
Well, it just emphasises how ridiculous some of his choices have been. You mentioned Boateng, Müller as well, of course, banished to the naughty step. Yet, these two are starting for arguably the best team in the world at the moment, Archie.
That's it. And Joachim Löw was under pressure to make changes after that debacle. And I think particularly to create an environment for these new younger players to come in. But was centre-back the position to do that in? How much of a destructive influence is Jerome Boateng really to a side? Mats Hummels and Thomas Müller are known for having their opinions on various matters and not being shy to say that. And I can maybe understand how that would be... overshadowing an impact for some of the younger players. But on the other hand, I think of the experience that they bring, and it was just a case of could Joachim Löw continue to handle these big personalities? And the answer was no. So it was either Joachim Löw goes or some of these bigger names went to create this space for these newcomers. But I'd say that right now, Germany would probably be better off without Joachim Löw and with the likes of Thomas Müller, Mats Hummels and Jerome Boateng still around.
From a coaching standpoint, Stevie, that's pretty pathetic, isn't it?
What?
Not having the ability to control your big players, to be scared of their influence in the dressing room. Come on, you're the big boy, you're the coach. You've got to sort this out for the better of the team, surely.
100%. Yeah, I don't understand any coach that would banish any player because... you don't know what's around the corner. You don't know when you're going to need them. And right now, listen, I'm not a huge fan right now of Boateng. I think he's slow. But then every centre-back Germany got right now is slow. So if Süle's your number one, he's even slower than Boateng. So you bring him back, but he can't bring him back because he's banished him. And that's when you make a mistake. I understand that if you've got somebody who's a little trappy, who's going to have a bad influence on the younger players... then what you do is you just don't pick them. But you don't turn around and say, that's it, you're done. Because now you find yourself in a position where really you would love to go and bring a Boateng in just for a small period of time till things settle down. But he can't do that. So he's hamstrung himself. So I guess in the end, Dan, the answer to your question is yes.
Here's the amazing thing to this for me, Dan. And we were discussing previously how long Jogi Löw has been with the German national team. Started off as an assistant, and then after the debacle of 2006, took over from Jürgen Klinsmann with the job of rebuilding the side. So the likes of Boateng and Müller all kind of matured under Jogi Löw as national team coach. So if now they are speaking out and they are taking exception to whatever it is going on, it's pointing to the fact that something is wrong, that something just isn't adding up. If these players who came from virtually the youth squad through to establishing themselves as world champions, while you're a head coach, are now speaking out against you, it says something is wrong, and that's what you see.
Oh, hold on, Shaq, I can't take that. Just because a player says something means it's right. Listen, I've coached a lot of players who have plenty to say.
Most of them couldn't
figure out what end a zebra's head and backside is. So just because they're getting trappy doesn't mean they're correct.
Well, what I'm saying, Stevie, is I maybe you know better than me, but I for the life of me, I cannot see a player maturing, coming in as a young player, coming into a squad under one coach, maturing, winning things for both club and country, and then all of a sudden getting trappy under that same coach. I just feel that there's a certain amount of respect that comes with territory. And if that respect isn't recognised any further by those players, it speaks to a bigger issue.
Archie, what are the fans saying?
If you had that respect, you wouldn't be trappy at a guy that you matured with.
What are the fans saying, Archie?
Well, that's the thing. Because these TV numbers in Germany have been going down and interest has been fading, you'd say that Germany needed this kind of entertaining game tonight to really re-encourage fans to watch the national team. The problem is, were they already watching? Probably not. And I think that they say in Germany that there's always 80 million Bundestrainer, 80 million people who think they know better than the national team coach. And there's still issues, I think, of being able to identify with this side. Those were the words of Bastian Schweinsteiger, of course, who made such a huge contribution to German football, not just over the last decade, but of course, with that match-winning performance in the 2014 World Cup final as well. And for Schweinsteiger to point that out on national telly with Joachim Löw pretty close to him as well, I think said a lot for how people are not able to identify with this side that they saw grow up under Joachim Löw and then fade in the most spectacular fashion in 2014. So I would say that there is still a level of disillusionment among Germany fans right now.
So when it comes to the Euros next summer, what's the expectation? It's Germany. They've got to be expected to win it, haven't they?
Well, the German FA president Fritz Keller has said that the expectation is for them to get to the semi-finals. And I think that unless Germany do get there, then Joachim Löw's position is going to come into question. As to who would be able to replace him, the best German coaches, I don't think, are going to want to have that national team job right now. That's the problem. You look at the likes of Julian Nagelsmann, Thomas Tuchel, Jurgen Klopp. Their aim right now is not going to be coaching this German national team. And that's why I think they've always gone back to Löw, because he is very much a company man and he fits this role very well. But how well does he fit it in terms of tactically now? I'm not sure. He was renowned for being tactically, stubborn amongst Germans here. And I think that showed with the way that the Mexico coach said after they beat Germany in the first game of the 2018 World Cup, how they knew how Germany were going to play from a year and a half before. So I think Löw is caught in a bit of a cycle of trying to second guess himself now. And I just think it would be good for Germany to have some fresh impetus in that position.
Stevie?
I kind of don't understand a lot of some of the kind of talk. You know, actually saying that, you know, the Mexicans are saying, well, they knew how they were going to play. I mean, what is there like 1,000 different ways you can play? You know, it's about quality. And I'm not so sure. Listen, from the middle of the park through Toni Kroos and Goretzka, through to the front three, you've got football players. You've got Kimmich alongside the two in the middle. So the front six is good. And they scored three goals tonight, and they could have scored more goals. So that isn't the problem. But how do you solve a problem when you don't have players capable of doing it? You know, you can only play four or three at the back.
Well, how about bring Boateng?
There's only two ways to play defensively. Well, listen, if you're struggling that badly and you need an old head, then why won't you? But then he can't. Yeah. Because he's already told him he doesn't want him and he's done and dusted. So, listen, I'm not so sure there's an awful lot Jurgen Löw can do. He doesn't have a back line. And even his goalkeeper, who a few years ago we were all lauding how he was the greatest in the world, you're kind of waiting on him making a mistake as well. So what does he do with the back line? It's
right
not
now,
as simple as just getting rid of the coach.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to say, Manuel Neuer's been back in the form of his life
today?
Again. Recently. Okay, he made a
I'll
mistake
what, did
tonight,
you, hey,
but...
Archie, did you watch him today? He got caught out for the second goal. Just before that, he tried to be clever and chip Seferovic, I think it was, and he ended up... They almost lost a goal through it, so you can't rely on him.
Yeah, but Manuel Neuer's been written off because of injury problems not so long ago. I thought he was done, but the form that he's come back into, particularly under Hansi Flick, I mean, I just looked at that performance in the Champions League final just back in August. He's been in superb form for Bayern. So I think that to write him off, it seems a little harsh to me.
Yeah, I guess my point, Archie, is that, you know, when your back line's as bad as it is, and as good as he might have been with Bayern recently, when you've got the guy that you're relying on to be steering the ship and calming things down, and he's making mistakes on the field of play, you can't blame Joachim Löw for that.
The structural side of things, the fact that they've still not resolved the issues on the counter attack, the way that they transition when they lose the ball, that is something that you would have expected this team to be able to work on under Joachim Löw, but he's used so many different players, and yet that performance tonight looked very similar to me to the one they turned in against Mexico, which suggests that Joachim Löw hasn't necessarily learned his lessons structurally.
Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, Extra Time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. Another reminder for you, I'm sure you know by now, ESPN, the new home of the Bundesliga, and it returns this weekend. All these matches available on ESPN+. On Saturday, you've got Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich in action. Dortmund kick off at 9:30, Bayern at 12:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It really is that one in the parentheses that says it all for Ukraine in their 1-0 victory over Spain. One shot on target, one goal was enough to see Ukraine take all 3 points in this Nations League tie. Julianne Laron and Ali Moreno with us. Ali, how on earth did Ukraine win this game?
Yeah, I mean, yes, how did they win it? But I think it is the way that you play against Spain. With Spain, even though they had seemingly, and I think the numbers will bear that out, it's over 400 passes more than Ukraine in terms of passes completed, and they had possession of the ball, and everything seemed to be going in the direction of Spain. We go back to the same sort of old issues that we've talked about time and time again. Spain will dominate possession. They'll get to the final third, and then there is a moment in which you need to find something that moves vertical, something that is more direct, something that breaks down what was a very well-organized Ukraine back line. And when you get to those instances, you simply don't have the players that are capable of doing that consistently. And so the chances fall to the guy who's playing in your center striking position, and that's Rodrigo Moreno. And as we know, over the course of Rodrigo Moreno's career or Gerard Moreno's career or whoever is it that Spain has now as an option going as a center striker, well, those are inconsistent goal scorers. And so therefore, the opportunities that usually are put away by somebody else in that number nine position, well, they're not put away by Rodrigo Moreno or again, whoever that option may be. And so when you look at Spain and the one guy that looks different, the one guy that seems to be doing something that is explosive is obviously Adama Traore. But the issue that they have with him is that, as we have come to know and appreciate Spanish soccer and the Spanish national team, that's a football by association, where it's little passes, where it's little combinations, little one-twos, little triangulations. In the case of Adama Traore, his strength is football by isolation. You want to isolate him in a 1v1 situation. But Spain don't do that, not often enough. The times that Adama Traore singled out Sobol and went after him 1v1, he was always going to get in behind. He was always going to get in the inside. Sobol had no chance of stopping him. But Spain, too many times, they kind of usher the ball to Adama Traore to the point to where they have taken his space away rather than, hey, quite quick 1-2 touches here on the left-hand side, let's switch it over and isolate him. Isolation is not the game of Spain. That's something that has to change as Adama Traore continues to have a more important role within this national team.
Jules, is it as simple as if you had a David Villa, Fernando Torres, Raul, Spain would win this game?
I think that would help for sure. I mean, they had a couple of good chances. We saw Rodrigo's header, for example, saved by the keeper. That was not a hard save. The Ansu Fati one in the second half, I guess, maybe the best one. And again, Ansu Fati is not a striker. He will always, I guess, find it difficult to score those kind of chances. So for sure, a real centre-forward, an efficient centre-forward, a clinical centre-forward will help them a lot. And they also need at the other side of the pitch a real goalkeeper, because I'm sorry, you cannot win. You can't win a game like that if you have a goalkeeper that makes a big mistake like De Gea did. And I don't think you can win a big competition, even less when you've got a goalkeeper like David De Gea who keeps making some mistakes.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question to Ali. How much culpability should De Gea take for the goal?
Well, he obviously he's out of position, but I can take it two steps back in that transition goal by Ukraine and how much time Yarmolenko is given in a very dangerous position. And when once he turns and finds the through ball, where in the world is Jesús Navas? And where in the world is Sergio Ramos? They're all sort of in between and nobody is covering the free run down the middle. It is very basic defending in terms of how the goal came about. And once that ball is played through, it's almost as if David De Gea was, well, do I come out? Do I stay? I do nothing. And when you do nothing, you're stuck in the middle. It's a good finish nonetheless by Ukraine. I just think overall, defensively, you can take advantage of Spain because they commit those numbers forward, because they have to have that possession of the ball, and because they know they're not creating a lot of chances, and even more numbers add themselves into the attack. But if you break through that pressure of Spain, now you have Yarmolenko getting his head up, and he's like, well, I can pick this pass every day, all day long. Finds the through ball. It's a free run. Navas nowhere to be found. Sergio Ramos nowhere to be found. And David De Gea, well, just kind of hanging out.
Meanwhile, of course, the big story off the pitch today was Cristiano Ronaldo testing positive for the coronavirus. Chiellini apparently chatting to his domestic team, his Juve teammate, saying that he's asymptomatic and he's been sunbathing. So it looks like he will be OK. But with regards to a timeline on this, Jules, Juve got a couple of easy matches coming up, but I suppose you eye up that crash against Barcelona. Will he be available for that?
That's the big question, of course. We will have to see. The UEFA protocol is quite strict, to be fair. So he might miss out on that game and the reunion with Lionel Messi. I think we will have to see. It's obviously, you know, disappointed. But if you look at the Portugal squads, José Fonte tested positive and had to leave the camp. They had another player as well who tested positive, who had to leave the camp. Now Cristiano, after the game against France, and I can tell you that some of the French players were not really reassured until their test came back today, saying they were all negative. But certainly for Cristiano now, who would have to self-isolate, even if those games are easy with Juventus, I don't think the loss is big for Juventus. I think it's him at this start of the season. I think he would have liked to play more, especially with the Champions League coming up and getting that real sharpness, match fitness to be able to be in top form for that game against Barcelona, especially.
Jules, did I see, was it Camavinga who swapped shirts with him?
Camavinga, who didn't play, didn't come on, swapped shirt with him and then posted on social media that the shirt with the photo, and it's clearly the one that Cristiano wore because there's trace of mud and grass and stuff like that. And then the caption was, I will never wash it. I'm sure now that Camavinga is preparing for the game in Croatia tomorrow that the staff in the national team have put it in the washing machine.
Yeah, of course. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Italy taking on the Dutch on ESPN2 at 2:30 Eastern. And you got all the other matches on ESPN Plus that include Croatia, France, England, Denmark, Iceland, Belgium, and Portugal, Sweden.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Interesting stuff from Paul Scholes talking about Martial. These forwards are exceptionally talented lads. We all know that. The problem with United's forwards is that none of them is an actual centre forward. Martial almost conned us into thinking he was one at the end of last season because he scored so many goals and was quite good. He started this season quite poorly again, which makes you think he isn't. It's misleading. That's why I've kept saying we need a top class number nine. Well, Jules is still with us. Let's welcome back Archie and Stevie as well. Stevie, Martial.
Does he have ability? Absolutely. Can he be brilliant? Absolutely. When do we see it? Well, I'm not really sure when we're going to see it. That's the problem. You know, players like him, one day are fantastic, and then the next day, you're not quite sure whether he's actually on the field or not. And that's okay if you're playing for a mid-table Premier League side or anywhere else in the world. But if you're playing at Man United, and you're there to be shot at every time you step on the field, there has to be more consistency than he brings. And he has to play in the right position. And I guess, what is the right position? I agree with Scholes. I don't think he's a centre forward. But you can't play him wide because he can't defend for you. So I don't know where you play him.
Jules, if in doubt, bash the Frenchman.
We scored 23 goals last season playing centre forward, and now I hear people saying to me there is no centre forward. I'm not really sure I understand. I'm not sure I follow. If you tell me United need to sign someone who's better than him, okay, no problem. Go and sign someone who's better than Martial. But don't tell me Martial is not a striker, he's not a centre forward, when he just had a season where he scored 23 goals. Of course, he's a different profile to Lukaku, for example, or to Haaland, or even to Mbappe. But he can link up the play. He drops a bit deeper. I think he likes to touching the ball, of course. But he's also been very clinical and efficient at times last season. And yeah, I agree with Stevie on the consistency. He's still quite young, I would say. But I don't think Deschamps plays him as a centre forward, Solskjaer plays him as a centre forward, or the managers before him played him as a centre forward, even if sometimes he was playing wide. I think he's a centre forward, he's a striker. Of course he can improve. Of course there are better strikers out there than him, more consistent for sure. But for me, he's quite obviously a centre forward, a striker.
Stevie?
Hey, listen, he could have scored 40 goals, but if you score 40 goals in the space of 12 games against mid-table teams, then if you're happy with that as a centre-forward, then go and knock yourself out. The thing is, you can't rely on them. And when you play for Manchester United, you need people you can rely on. So when I say I don't think he's a centre-forward, let me put it a different way. He's not a world-class centre-forward. He's a centre-forward that can score goals, but not when it counts. A bit like the guy you mentioned before, Lukaku, because he scored loads of goals as well, and they got rid of him.
Jules?
Yeah, and then I agree with you then on Steve. Then if you tell me they need a better striker than him, no problem. And Cavani has come in, and of course he's 33, he's closer to the end than to the beginning, but let's see how much competition Cavani will give him, if maybe Cavani will overtake him in the pecking order. Cavani will be a starter, and then Anthony Martial will be the second striker or number two in the pecking order if you want. But I just think that he's improving as a centre forward. I've seen him. I think he gained maturity a lot last season. He's learned a lot. But yeah, of course, there's probably better out there that United can go and get. For now, that's the best they have. And I think that when they've done well last season to finish third, it's because he also delivered at times. And we can always say he should score more in big games, etc. Of course, Paul Pogba could do better. Bruno Fernandes could do better. Marcus Rashford could do better in big games as well. But I just think that I like the way he's improved in the last 18 months.
I actually think Rashford's a better centre forward. I think they should give him some time at centre forward. And I think they don't, because he can do a bit defensively. He'll get back in there. So I think it's part of the way United is now, that they're playing Martial at centre forward, maybe because Rashford can get back and do some defending. I think Rashford would be far better centre forward.
More from Paul Scholes saying, I never thought Sancho was the right type of player because we've got three of that type of player anyway, so I wasn't that disappointed. He's a brilliant player. I just didn't think there was any need for him this year. Then continues, I think you need a top-class centre-forward, Kane or Haaland. I think Haaland is sensational. He'll be up there with your Ronaldos and Messis, possibly. He's that good from what I've seen of him so far. And it's not, of course, just Manchester United who are tracking the striker. The front page of Marca saying that Real Madrid will sign Erling Haaland if they can't sign Kylian Mbappe next summer. Mbappe is still the priority. But, of course, Haaland's got that €75 million release clause. Let's start just Jules, on the fact that Mbappe to Real Madrid, we thought this was always going to happen. Is there a case that it might not?
There's always a case that it might not, because if PSG said, we don't care that you will only have 1 year left on your contract after next summer and you don't want to extend it, which is a possibility, we're not going to sell you anywhere. We would rather keep you and let you go on a free in the summer 2022 than selling you in the summer 2021 to Real Madrid. So, of course, it might not happen. If they want to sign Erling Haaland to replace, or instead of Kylian Mbappe, they can. But I think that release clause only kicks on in the summer 2022. 2022 as well at Dortmund. So it will not be 75 million next summer for Madrid. It will be far more than that, Erling Haaland. I can guarantee you that. And so will be Kylian Mbappe. So they will have to make a choice. I think in their wild dreams, maybe they sign both. I don't think that will be possible either. And we're not even talking about maybe other signings that Zinedine Zidane might want, like Paul Pogba, for example. So I can see the attraction, and we've talked about it many times on the show before. I think Mino Raiola, who is Erling Haaland's agent, has stated a few times as well that he wants to place one of his players. He's also Paul Pogba, isn't one of his players at Real Madrid one day. So that's a possibility. But Kylian Mbappe will play at some point for Real Madrid. There's no doubt. Will he be in the summer 2021, 2022, a bit later on in his career? We're not sure yet, but they certainly will try, and it will a lot depend on if he extends his deal with PSG or not.
Archie, where's Haaland going to go?
I don't think he's going anywhere for a while. I don't think I see him leaving Dortmund next summer, or indeed, I think the most likely scenario is that he's there for this season and another one after that, because part of the reason I think he didn't want to go to Manchester United in the first place was for reasons of developing his career right now, and Dortmund has been the perfect place for him to do that. Already, he looks like the sort of striker that would benefit any team in the world right now. So I think that, particularly the way that Real Madrid don't have that Cristiano figure right now, I think being that sort of player would, or being that sort of figure at Real Madrid, is something that would appeal to him. So look, his dad obviously has a history in England, and I know that Erling Haaland's not going to be too shy in terms of looking at the Premier League as an option either. But I think that in terms of his career, it's important that he stays at Dortmund for now.
United have completely missed the boat on this, because there's no way he's going to go there now, Stevie, is he? Because he's going to be looking at the top drawer of clubs.
Yeah, 100%. You know, basically he's got the pick.
Yeah.
Because, as Archie said, nobody is turning this guy down, whatever the price. And unfortunately, if it was to happen tomorrow, Man United are way, way down the pecking order. So I'm sure they're not even in his thoughts.
A lot more about the future of Erling Haaland, as always, over on our Transfer Talk part of the website. Be sure to go over there and check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure, though, to stay tuned for Extra Time. Shaka, Ali and Jules answering your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. As always, thank you very much for your tweets. Before we get to them, there's a couple of notes that our producer wanted to bring up of comments that were made during the show. First off, Shaka, you wanted to highlight the fact that you said that 2006 was a debacle for the German side. They did make it through to the semi-finals and were knocked out by Italy.
Was it 2010 was a debacle?
Well, 2010. Which was the debacle, producer?
One of them World Cups.
2018
was a debacle.
That wasn't good.
Yeah. No. When did Jurgen Love take over? Was it after 2006?
Yeah, it's when Klinsmann, yeah.
That was a debacle. They were favourites at home. The Germany.
Joke. The other point he wanted you to bring up was the fact that you were angry at Scholes when he said that they didn't need Jadon Sancho at Manchester United because they had three very similar players.
I mean, I'm not sure if he's watched Jadon Sancho play a lot, or maybe he should tell me who the three players that they already have at United who are like Jadon Sancho, because I don't know them. They might not be in the A squad. They might be younger players. They might be in the women's side. I don't know. I don't understand what Scholes was trying to say. Saying we already have three Jadon Sanchos in our. No, you don't. You don't have even one Jadon Sancho. That's why United chased him, because they've got no one to play on that right hand side. Greenwood is not like Sancho. Rashford is not like Sancho. Martial is not like Sancho. Daniel James is not like Sancho. You don't have any Sanchos. Why are you saying that?
All because he had a go at Martial, Jules. You just have to fire back, don't you?
No, that won me up. That won me up as well. But, I mean, maybe Ali and Xhaka can tell me who the Sanchos are in the United squad.
Oh, Xhaka doesn't even know the Manchester United squad.
Nobody says Jadon Sancho like Julian Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
I like
it. Right. Who thought international break in a pandemic was a good idea? Everyone is going out and getting the virus and bringing it back to their clubs. Jules, I feel this is something you can address.
Yeah, I mean, although there's a bubble as well with all the national teams, so it's technically that's not true. They get tested when they arrive. There's a lot of the big protocol. There's a lot of regulations there. There's a lot of rules, and but sometimes, unfortunately, you know, you can have it. Often they had it before they joined the national team, and because you know there's that time of incubation, and you can have had it before, but it's. You're only coming up once you join your national team. I think it's unfortunate, but yeah, in an ideal world, maybe they would not travel. I understand that, but you can't not have those international breaks. Well, no, you could have not have them, but I think they're important for the national teams as well with the Euros if it happens at the end of the season in the summer.
Oh, the Jules, they should have just cancelled this whole week, and then football's been terrible, the whole thing.
Hey, well, hold on, won't they have to travel for European football as well? Will clubs have to travel?
Mm-hmm.
No?
That is correct, Shaka.
But they're just going to play on the Xbox.
Shaka. Yeah.
Just going to play on Xbox. Are you still trying to get the free copy of FIFA 21, Shaka? Did you get that in the end?
No, I bought it.
Did you?
Yeah, felt wrong.
Felt wrong getting it for free again.
Yeah.
So this is great.
Well, just to explain to everybody, all the years gone by, Dan has sorted me out with a little code so a little man gets FIFA. Happy days. This year, I come to Dan, I'm like, Dan, I need a code. He's giving me somebody else's number. I'm like, I'm not calling somebody else. You're the man. My FIFA guy.
You know what? So I said to Shaka, ask this guy, he might have it. And he goes, I'm too embarrassed.
I'm shy. I'm just really? Shy. Everybody knows I'm shy.
So you got it in the end, Shaq.
Yeah, I just went ahead and bought it.
I've been promised.
You owe
the code.
Me $60.
Me?
I'm sending it bill to you.
Will it be too late to jump on the Arsenal bandwagon after they beat Manchester City on Saturday? Oh, Jules, you're our resident Arsenal man.
Well, no, it's not too. I mean, it's never too late, I guess. If you like what Arteta is doing, if you like some of the signing they made, we might see Partey on Saturday. We might not. He played well with Ghana last night. I'm not sure if Arteta will start him straight away.
Oh, it's a very serious answer.
We need a bit of time to integrate. No, I'm just saying, you can if you want go onto the bandwagon, but they could also disappoint you very quickly after that. You know, consistency is not their forte, yeah. Even under Arteta, but certainly they can put out a very good display on Saturday, yeah.
Shaka and Ali.
Fandom, hey, wait, Dan. Fandom does some crazy things for people. The fact that Julian is staying up late because he needs to watch Thomas Partey play with Ghana and see how he's looking and how that transition is going to be with Arsenal.
Yep.
Come on, man. Gotta let it go, buddy. Let it go.
He's a professional.
Did you see his assist on Ghana's second goal? That's what I want for Pepe.
Shaka and Ali, did you look to see who the referees were before matches in your playing career? Did this change the way you approach the match? Ali, I'm sure you would alter your diving based on who the referee was.
I did not discriminate with my drawing of fouls. It didn't really matter who the referee was, but I did take a look because there were some referees that perhaps needed a little bit more convincing than others. Simple as that. You just know which one will fall for it and others that maybe you have to sell it a little bit more. Or perhaps there are times in which you have to talk to him personally so that you can get the call. Different referees, you have to manage differently as a player.
Mm. Ali, would you swear at them in Spanish or English?
Well, depending on the referee, which one can understand me in Spanish and which one can't.
Shaka, did you take note of
the referee? Did Ali just say, depending on the referee, he knew he had to bring his A diving game?
Yep.
Correct.
Well, I've got to dive really good today.
Yes. Hey, some people think about scoring goals, and those that couldn't score goals had to think about something else, and that was me.
Shaka, did you take note of the referee?
No. Didn't bother me one bit.
Did you go all Caribbean on him?
Well, it depends. if it called for going all Caribbean, I would. Yes.
Why would Pochettino or any other manager risk their reputation to go to Manchester United given the performance of the current board, Jules?
That's a good point, and that's a really good point. But maybe if they go and get Pochettino can have the, I don't know, assurances, for example, that a sporting director will be appointed at some point after him, that maybe he will have more power in the transfer market for United than Solskjaer or previous managers had. Maybe there's a lot of way, if they go and get Pochettino, that he will have a lot of leeway in the sense that, okay, you want me, no problem, but you also need to give me this and this and this. So it would be a very clever way for Pochettino or someone else to do it that way, coming into the club, but maybe with more power than the current manager has, for example.
And also, Ali, you've got to blame the board, can't you?
I've got one good reason, Dan.
Go on.
Because he doesn't have a job.
Ah.
What better reason you need than that? I'm going to just stay here with no job. As opposed to go to Manchester, what kind of question is that?
Oh dear, Shaq. Wow. Ever since you bought that FIFA, you're very angry.
I'm still angry about having the back FIFA 21. I'm still angry with you, Dan. What kind of question is that, Dan? Goodness me.
Who does Jules think should partner Varane for the Euros next year?
I'm Team Kimpembe every day. I just think he's so strong. He's got the pace as well, and also the mistakes that he used to make before, and we've seen them. I think they've taken away of his game. He's more mature. I mean, of course, he's getting older, but I think he's the perfect partner with Varane, and even in Deschamps' mind, I think he will start tomorrow against Croatia. He started also against Portugal. I think he's overtaken people like Umtiti, who's obviously not fit, Longley as well. Upamecano is a bit different because Deschamps likes his right foot, left foot pair of centre backs. So I think Upamecano is behind Varane more than could he play alongside Varane. So I think Kimpembe right now is the starter alongside Varane already.
Ali, have you ever played in La Paz Stadium of Bolivia, and how difficult did you find it?
So I did not actually play in La Paz. I was comfortably sitting on the bench for that game. However, I have played in Quito, which is just about 10,000 feet in elevation. Wow. La Paz is about 11,000 feet in elevation. And what I can tell you is an intimidating sight when you walk into La Paz in the locker room. To the right-hand side of the door, locker room door, they have oxygen canisters lined up for you. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to somehow make you feel better about the whole experience or tell you you're gonna need one of those in about 30 minutes time. That in itself was not a good feeling. I can tell you that in Quito, just like in La Paz, what you have is that feeling that you're catching your breath the whole 90 minutes. You know, for those of us that have been fortunate enough to play this game at a high level, there are moments in which you push yourself to that threshold in which you almost feel like there's this taste of blood in your throat. And that's at the limit of exhaustion. That is the feeling you have for 90 minutes when you're playing at that sort of altitude. And it makes it impossible for you to get comfortable at any point in the game.
Basically like Stevie climbing the stairs now. Shaka, what's the...
Correct.
What's the highest level you've ever played at?
Probably Azteca. How high is that, Ali?
I'm not sure. It's not as high as Quito or La Paz. I'm gonna take
what
that
don't you know, Ali? Come
yeah,
on.
Not as high, but that...
What you have in Azteca and in Mexico City is the element of the pollution as well that makes it also difficult to breathe.
The highest I've ever played was Azteca, and the thinking behind going in there was you either have to go in a full week beforehand and acclimatize, or you go in as close to the game as you can and it doesn't have as bad as an effect. That's just what I was told. And obviously coming from a small association without that kind of money to go there a week before, you fly in the night before the game, you play it, you inevitably get beat, and you fly straight back out. That's how it worked for us every single time.
Shaka, how shocked are you that West Ham have already managed to pick up two wins when you predicted that they wouldn't get a point until November?
No, I was bluffing.
Really?
I was not predicting that. Yes, I was bluffing. I'll be really honest. I'm really surprised at how well they looked against Wolves and Leicester, I think it was. And the strange coincidence to that was David Moyes was not on the bench.
So you say
so
sack
we'll
Moyes.
See what comes of that in the coming weeks.
Former Hammer of the Year says sack David Moyes.
I did not say that. I said, coincidentally, David Moyes was at home ill. That's all I said. That's all I said, FIFA
sack,
boy.
Sack David Moyes and give me a free copy of FIFA. That's what I'm hearing, Shaka. Try to get that extra time. Jules and Ali, what car do you drive? We all know Shaka's. He does a lot of bragging. Shaka, of course, with a Maserati. Ali?
I do not have a Maserati. I drive a Ford
Volkswagen
Fusion Hybrid.
SUV. That's what I drive.
Say again, Ali.
It's a Volkswagen SUV. You know, just I'm a man of the people.
Yep. Jules?
I've got a Volvo Hybrid 4x4. Oh. I've got a big family, so, you know, to fit all the children in, we need a big XC90 thing.
Shaka has a Maserati and he's got five kids. Oh. It's incredible.
Hold on, Dan.
I don't know how they all fitted at the time.
Yeah, he just puts them all in the trunk.
Hold on, Julian, last week you were telling us that you went to Anfield in a what? Was it Anfield?
I went to Anfield. Yeah.
Was it Anfield or Old Trafford in a Bentley SUV? Wasn't it?
Oh, hello.
No, not me. I was not driving it. I arrived with someone in front of me who is now
a Bentley
driven player who was driving the Bentley.
You were being driven in a Bentley SUV. You were being driven in a Bentley SUV.
I think it's just the SUV was in front of him.
No, I just parked my car. And then someone arrived in the Bentley SUV that we both know, who now works on British television, who used to be a player.
That's not what he said last week. That's not what he said last week.
Shaka, you're trying to shift attention from your Maserati ways. Jules saw a Bentley.
I don't have a Maserati.
Jules saw
money,
a car out on the street.
Yeah.
And somehow that reflects poorly on him because he saw a car in front of him.
That's not what he told us last week. That's all I'm saying. That's not what he said last week.
You're not listening, Shaka.
I did.
However, if I was earning your wages, Shaka, I probably could offer the family a Bentley SUV, that's for sure.
Shaka, do you know one of our colleagues, someone on the show does drive a Bentley. Do you know who that is?
No.
No?
Ali, do you know?
Hutchinson? Don Hutchinson?
No.
Stewie?
No. Stewie, as if he'd pay for that. He is the World Cup winner on our panel.
Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard.
Oh, I thought he had a moped, though. I thought he was weaving in and out of Paris traffic.
I told you
he
has a motorbike.
Like a little bike.
Okay.
All those French guys like Bentleys. Told you.
And what does Stevie drive? A Prius, obviously.
Nothing.
Save as much money as possible. Shaka, any jerk chicken recipe you can perhaps help me out with?
Ooh, hello.
I'm not the one to go to for jerk chicken. I'm from Trinidad Tobago. Jerk chicken is Jamaican. If you want jerk chicken, you go to a Jamaican.
All right. So what's your specialty,
Shaka? If you want a good curry chicken, you go to Trinidad Tobago.
Well, how'd you do that one then?
Curry chicken?
Yeah.
They use curry, Dan.
Oh, God, Shaka.
Oh, don't want to give away all our secrets here, but curry might have something to do with it.
You use curry.
A chef of
he
curry
said, you
chicken.
Use curry.
Just use curry, that's it. I'd like curry, please. Get the curry, chicken, there it is.
Dan, you see how insulted he was about... No. Jerk chicken, that's not us.
Yeah.
That's Jamaican.
Yeah, I know.
You come to us.
No, I'm just saying.
Curry.
Come up for curry chicken.
Listen, I'm telling you, I only buy jerk chicken from Jamaicans. That's all.
This is going down a very strange road, Shaka, now. I think we're going to stop right there before we get into trouble. That is it. Thank you very much, ESPN FC. We'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. How exciting. Shaka, are you going to be here?
Hey.
Nope.
No, you'll be at home watching highlights of the 2006 World Cup, the debacle.
Before playing FIFA.
The 2006, the calendar year was a debacle. That's what I meant.
Oh, the calendar year. I see, Jack. Very good. Good stuff.